Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Changes. Welcome, guys. So we just want to let you all know that there's gonna be a change in the schedule coming up starting in November with Two Old Queens.
Gird your loins.
So what's gonna happen is we're gonna be changing the schedule to being one episode a week, going back and forth between the regular feed and the Patreon.
And all episodes will now come out on Wednesday, free feed and Patreon episodes.
Yeah. So if you already subscribe to the Patreon, thank you. We love and appreciate
you. Love you. Thank you.
So wonderful to have your support through all of this. So then all that's going to change is episodes are now going to be on Wednesday and they're going to be every other week. And if you're listening, if you only listen to the regular feed, all that's going to change is that you're going to go from being an episode every week to an episode every other week.
But if you do want to join, we have a new tier of our Patreon.
Yes. Starting November, there's going to be a brand new, just $1 a month tier. And if you're on that tier, on those weeks where we get a Patreon episode, you won't get the full episode, but you will get a brief shiny diamond that is one of Mark's camp lists, whatever that camp list is for that week. So you get
that
a little bit of a taste.
Camp.
Yes.
You'll have no context for any of these camp lists, but maybe you'll still enjoy them. We can only hope. But that's it. We hope you will weather. We just want to open up our own schedules a bit, give us some breathing room.
Things have been tough schedule-wise, so this is sort of like what we can manage right now. We still want to do the show. We don't want to stop doing it. We still want to be there, and so hopefully you will continue on this journey with us.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. And if you do want to sign up for the Patreon, you go to patreon.com/twooldqueens. Great.
Well, that's it. So enjoy the episode.
Bye. We love you.
Bye.
One is Mark and John's a co-host. They're alive. They are not ghosts. It's Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams. It's a nightmare, not a dream. Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so delighted for our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
They're a writer on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and co-host of the podcast A Funny Feeling, 90 Day Bay, and Ella's for Losers. It's Marcy Jarrow.
Hello.
Wow.
Oh, very gorgeous. Nice. Very wicked of you. Very
I got
wicked.
Range. Hello.
That's like perfect. A little more brassy.
Yeah, I got range. That's what I said. I got range.
She gives you options. Nice.
I appreciate the option.
It's so good to see you both.
It's great to see
nice.
You.
You're back for your third time?
This is my third.
I thought it was
my
your
goodness.
Third.
Nice.
I could remember the first one was Beaches.
Yes.
But then I had no idea what your second episode was.
I want to say that it was the Orient
Dolly?
Express.
Yes, that's right. Murder on the Orient Express.
That's right.
No, I call
it was a real
it the,
mystery.
I call it the Orient Express.
It's so those time.
I don't want to spoil it for them. Let them know it's a murder, please.
I think it's just a lovely train ride they're taking.
It's just blank on the Nile. You have to see what happens.
Could be brunch. Could be murder.
Either way, it's delicious.
You're going to like.
You're going to like. Marcy, you're here. This is our final episode of Five Cold Screams of 2021. The last in our horror series, which we do every year. Are you, I know you host a spooky podcast, but that doesn't necessarily mean you like a horror movie. Do you like a horror movie?
I do with friends.
I see. Like ones with Jennifer Aniston, David Schwimmer.
Those are great.
Yeah.
You love a Leprechaun 3.
I just meant Scream with Monica.
Courtney Cox.
Yes. Monica. Ones. Yeah. No.
Right. Monica's so good at those.
I like to watch in a group, but sometimes when I'm like, oh, I'm in the mood and I'll watch one at home alone. And then I'm like, I hate this.
That was a terrible idea.
And this is a fun thing that happened 2 years ago now because time has passed so quickly. I saw, what was it? When they made the movie of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that. Mm-hmm. I came home and I was very scared.
Of like there being like a toe after you?
I don't know. You know, at the actual movie sitting next to my friend, I was like, this is silly. And there were some drunk teens who fell and threw chicken fingers all over me.
What?
Oh, it was so funny.
What did you do to cause them to throw chicken fingers on you?
Oh, I just simply was existing in the space and they were drunk and came
there you
in.
Go. So that was on you. That's on
truly
you.
A pratfall to end all pratfalls. But yeah, I came home and I was like, what's that noise? The cat's being weird. Oh my God. And I was like, this is stupid. I'm afraid because.
Does it matter if it's like a ghost or if it's like a stalker slasher, either one? Are you scared equally?
I say this all the time. Oh, you mean in real life or on?
Or like when you're like, when you have that, after you see a movie, is one more prone to like give you the creeps afterwards?
Oh, well. I prefer to watch paranormal ones more because I don't like watching a lot of gore.
Gotcha.
Sure. And what's a ghost going to do? Nothing. Walk right through you.
Yeah. And if we're talking about real life fears, I'm very much more afraid of human men.
Than a
period.
Ghost.
A dead
well,
person.
They exist. Yeah.
Yes. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
Fair
Little
enough.
Girl walked out of TV in real life. I'd say, good for you.
I'd be like, I don't know why. And I got 7 days to figure this out. Okay. Isn't that the
TV?
Rule?
I think you got 7 days to figure it
yeah.
out.
That's so much time.
Easy. Do you remember the last movie that like really freaked you out?
I will always go back to The Conjuring as the one that actually scares me. But the thing in all the movies that scares me are sudden loud noises.
Jump scares.
Now, it doesn't stick with me long, but in the moment, I'm like, God damn it. Don't
it's startling.
Me. Oh, yeah.
Do you often scream as well, or do you just sort of like hold, like internalize it?
If I'm screaming, it's because I'm being fun.
Okay, it's performative. Gotcha.
Yes. Mark, you've seen me.
I've seen you. Yes, we also, with our very recent guests, Kristen Rosanti and Lauren McGuire, we all went to Delusion. You were there. You seemed to keep your shit together, though. You seemed to be of the tangent on the lower, the less scared.
Except when I was screaming at you.
Yeah, well, that was typical. Like, that was before we even started the thing.
Mark, do the thing!
I mentioned this earlier that people were screaming at me to like bring out the totem. And I was like, I will when they tell me.
Now, Mark, do you remember years ago when we did that, not quite fully overnight, but we did that investigation of UCB Sunset, the haunting of UCB Sunset.
I did. We were paranormal investigators.
And there was some noise happened and I screamed at you. I was so angry that I thought you were making a noise trying to scare us.
Yeah.
I just remember being like, Mark!
And I didn't.
So it was a ghost. And you got in trouble for a ghost.
It was a ghost? You never figured out what that noise was?
It used to be Sunset. The building was constantly settling. It was always settling. Something.
Oh, if that makes you feel better.
Okay, that's the nice way of saying it's haunted.
It's not haunted. It's we determined settling. It was not haunted. There's
it was
nothing
like
there.
4 o'clock in the morning. There wasn't any cars on the roof or anything.
It's just like an old, it's a building. Like buildings make noise. There's like vents and shit. It's like nothing crazy. If you hear a sound, that doesn't mean anything.
Wow.
You does getting, it not mean anything?
You're getting really
you
upset
prove,
right
yeah,
now,
that's
Mark.
Right. I can't prove, well, this is our, wow. This is our old argument. No, I'm not. And then we talked to that paranormal investigator afterwards in the live stage show. He was wearing a bowling shirt. So that's when I'm out. He's not.
Integrity out the window.
Gone.
Oh, I don't mean to just do too much chatter up top, but once, just because I found it, I did not stay on it. Do not accuse me of such. But there was a dating site called Paranormal Date, maybe, or Paradate. And it was a paranormal community of people who wanted to date. And I was like, let me just look at this. Oh my God, this is terrible. Every man here has long stringy hair.
Yeah, of course.
I could see that.
They want to be vampires.
The question is, did you get ghosted?
I didn't get that far.
Okay.
I didn't get that far. I was like, no, it's funny, but it's not like funny enough to go through with any of this.
Sure. You're not that committed to the bit.
Well, all the men, you like women into like ghosts and things, they always seem like fun and like cool and like they're into like, you know, Anne Rice novels, clove cigarettes. But then like the men into it seem like this aggro monster energy drink, like black
they think-
cargo shorts.
As like, if shit it's balls. Like, you know, people who like fantasize about going to war. Like, that's
sure,
what they do
yeah.
with ghosts. They're like, yeah, I'd get out there. I'm going to fuck a ghost up.
I could face out. I could face against this nothing.
Now, there is a very famous guy who's into ghosts who's not like that. Matthew Gray Gubler.
Okay.
From
Criminal Minds. He's like he's really into ghosts and he lives in a haunted house.
Well, that's nice, refreshing.
And he's not too. I would say he's more on like the more, I don't know, quiet guy kind of vibe.
Sure. We got to keep an ear out for ghosts.
Yes.
So did he buy the house because he knew it was haunted?
I don't know that whole story, but he definitely. People were like, "Oh my God, he has insane stories," and he won't tell them.
So
is he spreading the rumor that he has insane stories?
I've got great stories, but I can't tell you
like,
any of them.
He wouldn't come on my podcast, essentially. Like,
was he saving them for a book?
Maybe. Also,
people
maybe
love
if you talk
to read about ghosts,
that's it, we do. We do love it.
Would you ever live in a haunted house, or didn't you? Isn't there a place that you lived once that a lot of people considered haunted?
Yeah, we lived on Beechwood, and we had some experiences, and then I moved out and Nicole Byer and John Milheiser lived there and they had experiences. And then once while he was dog sitting, Steve Schlaga had an experience and then they moved out. And then, my friends, someone I'm friends with, moved in and after it was like renovated, I was going to say my friend's assistant, but I'm also friends with sure. him. And his roommate had experiences.
What like are these experiences?
Well, I heard someone speaking in Spanish at the foot of my bed and then felt a lot of pressure. Nicole and John, Nicole saw a man standing in the living room. They both heard someone clapping while they were laughing at their own jokes. Someone in the other room clapped.
Sounds like sarcastic joke.
Yeah.
It's a real slow clap. Yeah.
Like, all right, let's wrap
well
it up.
So clever, you two. Yes.
It's 2 a.m. We've watched enough serious
we know
lunch
you're
videos.
Funny.
And then I forget Steve's story other than he was like terrified and had to leave, like, and take the dog. And then my friend who lives there now, his roommate saw like shadow people.
All right.
Aren't those shadows?
Well, like specifically like in, and it is the room that has more activity too. And then he made friends with another neighbor who's been there for a long time. And the guy was like, yeah, I lived there in the 80s. And when I moved in, it was like a drug house and it was disgusting. And in the smaller bedroom, there were like children's drawings on the wall and like children, like crying, like drew pictures of them crying. Like, he was like, yeah, it's a really creepy place.
So it sounds like you got it at a bundle, at a steal.
Honestly, it was a great deal for Hollywood. Come on.
On that Beachwood? Come on.
It was a 2-bedroom, 1800, please.
Get out of here. Speaking of times when you can afford rent, things made in previous earlier times. This is a terrible segue.
Okay, good pivot. Good,
but
good.
I did it. Today, we're talking about Jennifer's body, respectfully. John, what's the deal with Jennifer's body?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Jennifer's body. It was directed by Karen Kusama, written by Diablo Cody. And when a demon takes possession of high school hottie Jennifer, she turns a hungry eye on guys who never stood a chance with her before. While evil Jennifer satisfies her appetite for human flesh with the school's male population, her nerdy friend, Needy, learns what's happening and vows to put an end to the carnage. It stars Megan Fox, Amanda Seyfried, John Simmons, J.K. Simmons, no relation, Amy Sedaris, and Adam Brody. It was released on September 18th, 2009, and made $31.6 million off a budget of $16 million. Roger Ebert called the film a Twilight for boys, saying, as a movie about a flesh-eating cheerleader, it's better than it has to be. Anne Hornaday of the Washington Post said, there's a certain kooky, kinky fun to be had with Jennifer's body, but that admittedly, this is the stuff of lurid adolescent distraction, not great cinema, calling it strictly a niche item, but provides a goofy, campy bookend to drag me to hell on the B-movie shelf. Watch it, forget it, move on. And since 2018, in the wake of the Me Too movement, the film has been appreciated as a feminist horror film and as a cult classic. And that is the deal with Jennifer's body.
So, Marcy, we asked you to pick a movie and you chose Jennifer's body. Why Jennifer's body?
Well, I've seen people talk about it so much as a feminist horror film. Mm. And one, Megan Fox, you can't get away from her Machine Gun Kelly these days.
They're all in the news. He is weed.
I am weed.
I am weed. Funny you should mention I smell like weed. I am weed. And Machine Gun Smelly. Has anyone ever said that to him? That's what I would say.
Cute.
You call him up. Tell him now.
He's definitely got a landline.
Yeah, so I was just curious about it. I'd never seen it. And I recently have been like, Megan Fox, am I interested in her? Is she interesting?
And where did you land?
Well, I think she is because she was given such a bad beginning of her career. She was really treated really poorly. And I feel like even though culturally we've shifted, no one has like tried to help her out any. her career, like when it got shut down, it kind of hasn't had the same momentum. And you know, I'm gonna say watching this, I was like, she can do. I think she can do fun stuff.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like Mel Gibson is now in the John Wick spinoff TV show, just getting cast. He's having no problems.
Mr. Nazi Sugar Tits? No,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, he's disgusting. No. So what did you think of the movie when you watched it?
I had a lot of fun watching it. It's very, very watchable film.
Yes.
And there are so many. It's so funny because I watched Promising Young Woman like as soon as it came out last year. There are some really similar, one thematically it's the same, but even just like scenes in the movie that are very similar, and the feeling that you come away with, it's all, you're like, oh yeah, someone watch it, promise someone who whatever, I forget her name, oh my god, I love
Emerald
Promising Emerald, yeah, Emerald
Fennel?
Something Fennel. Emerald Fennel. Emerald Fennel. But you can be like, oh, they watch this and there's such an inspiration by
it. So it sounds like you enjoyed the movie.
I really did. I'm so glad that I finally watched it.
Did it spook you? Were you creeped out afterwards? Were you afraid?
No.
Jennifer's gonna come get you.
No.
Because she wouldn't come after ladies.
Well,
unless you're her friend who betrays her.
She does say in the movie she swings both ways.
Thanks.
That's true.
John, what did you think of Jennifer's body? Had you seen it before? What's the deal? What are you coming in with?
I had not seen it before. I knew the title, but I didn't know much about it. Like watching it, I was like, oh, that person's in it. I didn't know like Amanda Seyfried was in it or J.K. Simmons or any of those, or Amy Sedaris. That was a delightful surprise. I think it's, yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it's sort of, in reading, like even just like some of the background of it, like I think it to me, and I don't want to sound like a terrible misogynist, but it's
never stopped you before.
That's true. I think it seems to think it's more interesting than it potentially is or was for me. And I feel like a lot of other movies have done what it does a little better or more entertainingly, I thought, but it was enjoyable. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like The Craft to me was sort of like more interesting, and I had like bigger swings and more sort of fun about, like, slightly more interesting about female relationships than Jennifer's Body was. Maybe I just like enjoy the more of the campiness of The Craft than Jennifer's Body. I mean, it was definitely fun. And, you know, Diablo Cody, like, definitely like knows how to like have a spicy scene and like exciting twists and turns to the script. But it didn't strike me as like the feminist sort of movie that people seem to think it is. But maybe I'm wrong, or I'm interested to sort of talk about that. I guess I just wanted Megan Fox's character to go after that band more than she did.
But that's why I was like, oh, it reminds me of Promising Young Woman a lot.
But I felt like with that, like, she was making her way to that. Where I didn't think
she was going down her list and promising
that Jennifer was doing that. I felt like she was just like, who's the next guy that I'm going to feed off of?
Yeah.
That was the impression I got.
Yeah.
But it was definitely like was stylish and fun. Yeah. Like Amanda Seyfried, I thought was good. Megan Fox, I agree with you saying like, she's not like I didn't think she was like a great actress, but I could see like someone you could cast her smart. Like you could be smart and use her in very effective ways. Like she's obviously like lovely to look at. The camera loves her. And like, she's not bad. I wouldn't say she's probably somewhat limited as an actress, but still like entertaining within her wheelhouse. So yeah, I'm totally here for a Foxessence. How about you, Mark? What are you bringing to Jennifer's Body?
I had never seen it before. Familiar with the whole song that the title is based on, sure. But that's maybe about it. But I thought it was fun. I don't think it's like this grand revelation, but I thought it was like a good time. I kind of like that. I guess like it would be more expected if she just went off of. If she went after, like, because all her victims are just like, they didn't really necessarily do anything to her. In some ways, I was waiting for that revelation. But the fact that it didn't, I was like, oh, yeah, because she is a demon. Like, that's all she needs. She's just going to kill the horny boys. And like, all right. Once I was like, I was on board with that. Like, OK, sure. Let's have her kill the horny boys. And then I liked the dynamic between her and Amanda Seyfried. And I do think Megan Fox is very funny in this. I was like, why hasn't she been in like Tina Fey, snap her up, put her in, have her say in some pop culture reference. She could do it. But then she is hurting herself with this Machine Gun Kelly relationship. That's the only thing. Like, oh, Megan, we were all for you. But then this, it's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow.
It's not good.
It's tough because I had a good time. She probably got like super Jennifer's famous so young and early. And that's always dangerous, I think.
I think it is. At least I'm telling myself it is.
Yeah.
It would have been so bad for me, I'm sure.
I'm so grateful fame hasn't touched me yet.
I'm going to be my ripe old beginning of my twilight years, and it's going to be my twilight for Marcy. You know what I thought about who she went after? I was like, this is very interesting, I think, for like rape culture in general, that like the guys who do it don't get in trouble. It's all the relationships mm-hmm. that come afterwards that are destroyed.
Right.
Yeah.
So that for me, I was like, I see this. I see like the one-to-one there with what actually happens, that it kind of it can destroy the person, and then they kind of cannot find the healthy thing after that. So,
and it's also not unusual in a horror movie for like innocent people to die.
Yeah. Sure. Those boys weren't innocent. They're all bad. They all did their own bad.
All boys are bad.
All high school boys deserve
it. They had
it.
Thoughts.
Yeah. Oh, what about this Chris Pratt having three lines?
I wonder if he was just like cut out or something. More movies should follow this lead.
It was, wasn't it 2009?
2009, yeah.
So I just don't think he was who he is.
Yeah, I think it was definitely one of the early ones. I wasn't sure because I guess, you know, like he's in one of the early scenes that takes place in this sort of like honky tonk club that then catches on fire. And I wasn't sure if he died in that fire or not, but we never saw him again. But I don't think he did because no one mentioned him specifically as someone who had died.
Yeah. No. And
but it could have been, he could have been someone who died because we never saw him again after that scene.
But also, like, his character wasn't that important. I didn't feel like we needed a follow-up or anything. Like, I didn't miss him.
I agree. But it was sort of, I guess it's because he is Chris Pratt and we know him so much now that we're sort of like, oh, well, what happened to him?
What happened? Well, he's a Republican, married a Schwarzenegger. That's what happened. Well, Marcy, as you may or may not know, we're looking for the gayest movies ever. And this month, the gayest horror movies ever. And we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category and it will be added to the wheel. You may not know what that means at this point, but don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. We'll explain it when we get to it. So relax. This is our current top five gayest horror movies ever. So this is the current horror movie rankings. In fifth, with an 80.43%, is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. In fourth, with an 84.20%, The Craft. In third, with an 85.19%, The Lost Boys. In second, with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. And number one gayest horror movie with a 92.99% is The Bride of Frankenstein.
Ooh.
So, Marcia, if you had a guess, where do you think Jennifer's body is going to land?
I was going to say definitely at the bottom, but then some of those other ones confused me. So now I'm not sure.
What are you confused by? Lost Boys?
That's pretty gay.
Yeah, but you know what? We'll get there because there's some gay stuff in this one too.
That's true. In its favor.
Yep.
So you think it's going to crack the top five?
I don't think so, but I don't know right now, and I'm bad at math.
Okay.
I'm being humble.
Oh, that's so humble.
Set the expectations low and over-deliver. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. Got it?
Great. Yes.
All right. Perfect. All right. So the first category, how would you rate Jennifer's body on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
Well, I think needy.
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 Needy's needy. Needy's got needs.
I love this closeted gay character she's playing. And then Jennifer's bi. So I'm going to say that's up there at a 90.
A 90.
Do we think Seyfried is gay or do you think she's bisexual?
I don't know
if she's even, I mean, I think she's at the very minimum bisexual, but it doesn't seem to be. It's just also, she's definitely in love with Jennifer, but it seems like Jennifer, like maybe is like where her desire, homosexual desire begins and ends.
Maybe. We don't know.
Maybe she's demisexual.
That's true.
What does
and
that
she
mean
really has to get to know their mind.
It's the mind. You can only be. You're attracted to someone's brain.
Or is that sapiosexual?
Well, that's sapio. Demi is. You're attracted to Demi Moore.
Yes.
Oh well, then
G.I. Jane from G.I. Jane to the Butcher's Wife. Yeah, I'd say those two for sure. Sadly, gay boys in it. Diablo Cody, what are you doing? I guess she's work. When you work as a stripper, you never meet them.
That's
a shame.
Yeah.
That's why I don't get into the industry.
Yeah, I mean, I think Seyfried and Megan Fox are like bisexual, but I don't know. It's weird. It's like it did feel very like four men, like their relationship. Like it didn't feel like, even though it was like a female screenwriter and a female director.
I thought that because when he said, like Roger Ebert said, this is like Twilight for boys. I felt this is such a movie for girls.
I think this is not for boys. Like has said in that it was. The movie was a disappointment. I don't think it was a failure like financially, but it was sort of a disappointment. And it's because they tried to really, because Megan Fox was just like the biggest sex symbol of 2009. You know what I mean? So it was pitched for boys. That's how they like pitched it, and that's why like movie it didn't do well.
Girls don't like movies.
We can't
want to watch two girls kissing.
No,
yeah. I'll go 65.
65. Do we get your score, Marcy?
I feel like I overshot. I said 90.
Okay,
but...
said 90.
Oh, you said 90. I totally forgot. Didn't
I thought there was a pretty hot makeout with them. So
there's a hot makeout, but I didn't feel like either one of them were like, this is what I mean. Like, who was the guy that saved? Oh, Johnny Simmons, who we never
Johnny really, Simmons.
We haven't seen much of.
We saw him in Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And where's he been?
I've seen him.
Doing stuff.
See him in Bonds.
Yeah. He once gave me a $5 tip when I gave him a Starbucks once. So,
wow.
Oh,
you gave him a Starbucks?
I was a PA on the to do list because Aubrey was in it. And I was like cast assistant, but also a PA. And he gave me $5. And I was like, that is so weird. But now I realize it was nice.
That is nice.
He's like, you're probably overworked.
He was just in an episode of 2017's Girl Boss. So, remember that show, Girl Boss?
There you go.
That woman who has since been canceled.
There you go.
The subject of the girl boss. I don't know. I'll give it a 72.
Oh.
All right.
Given an average of 75.67, which is the highest we've had in the last 8 movies.
I skewed it hard, baby.
Even if you gave it same as the lowest score we gave it, which was John 65, it would still be the highest. So it doesn't matter.
All right.
You're doing great. All right. Our next category, gay icons. Let's rate this on gay icons.
If gay can mean queer. Sure. Or no.
Sure.
I do think people really love Megan Fox as like a bi icon.
Oh, is she bisexual?
I believe she is. Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Could be wrong. Good could be her. Wrong. But
I would say Amy Sedaris is a gay icon.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
She's in it for like a scene, but she's in it.
God,
Amanda Seyfried is ascending, I think.
ABBA, hello.
Her work in the Mamma Mia,
definitely. What about Diablo Cody? What do we think of her?
Has anyone ever rewatched Juno?
I haven't recently. But
look,
do you think it's not aged as well? Is that what you're?
I've just never. I just don't know anyone who's rewatched it.
I just Googled, is Megan Fox bi? And it said the first article that came up says, Megan Fox reminds us she is a bi icon.
Thank you. Oh, you have to remind us you're an icon. I don't know if you're an icon.
Well, it's bi erasure, John.
So I don't know about Diablo Cody. Sure, why not? I think she's cool.
What about? Well,
she's got a great, she had a fun career.
Yeah,
if she and Madonna hadn't parted ways, it definitely would have been.
Aren't they working on her biopic together? Is that
no? The word is that they have parted ways.
Imagine Madonna being difficult to work with.
Could
I'm
you
shocked.
Imagine?
Pick my job off the floor.
It also could be just a timing issue because the two of them are timing. Also both very much in demand.
Madonna notoriously very easy to work with.
Sure, not saying otherwise.
Also, Courtney Love on the soundtrack and titular inspiration.
That's true.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like J.K. Simmons should be
a gay icon. I don't know about that.
Have you ever seen what he looks like now?
He's like ripped now. He got
so buff.
Yeah. That doesn't make anyone a gay icon, though.
Although I did see him in Guys and Dolls in the 90s.
And reviews are?
He was great. As
sounds like he wasn't that great.
Farmers.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, he was great. He was the guy who came in and was like, let's sing Guys and Dolls. And then he did. He was great.
Is that someone's line? Let's sing Guys and Dolls?
No, he just sings it, but yeah.
Oh. I don't know anything about guys. As far as I know, Guys and Dolls is about people who want to gamble.
Yes, there's a lot of gambling in Guys and Dolls. You're right.
And there's a lot of like hats, fedoras.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. I think you would like Guys and Dolls because it's sort of, it's very, it's not very deep. It doesn't take itself seriously. It's
oh, thank you.
Yeah. It's something you could understand.
Yeah, thank you, John. Wow.
You wouldn't be like, oh.
It's shallow. I don't have to think too hard.
Exactly. You love it. And the songs are fun. Your toe taps. You love it.
What do we want to give Jennifer's Body in gay icons?
It's weird because I'm going to rate it lower than I think I would if she were a man. You know what I mean?
Well, she's also like hasn't been around that long to be like an icon status.
Yeah.
I feel like when you think of Megan Fox, you think of Transformers, which is not what the gays are talking about.
No, correct. But I'm going to say like, I don't know, like an 80?
80, a bit of a cumulative effect.
If Sedaris had more to do, sure. She to me is like the one that is like the best example. But I'm going
to
go
72. It was fun to see her in a very like, oh, she's grounded.
Yeah, she mm-hmm. wasn't going crazy. She wasn't sketchy.
Oh,
comedy.
Interesting.
Right.
I'll give it a, I don't know, 74. Why not? Give it an average of 75.33.
Ooh.
All right. Our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
I mean.
I'd say not really.
Not really.
Not at all.
We got a brief scene with Chip, but his underwear is really high-waisted, which I thought
okay,
was weird.
Okay, John.
I just thought it just looked weird that it was like high-waisted tighty-whities.
Like even like the women look good, but I didn't feel, it's not like watching Megan Fox and Michael Bay where the camera's practically like undressing her. Like it felt like, it still felt like I don't feel bad for any of the women in the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and that's not what you want to, you want to demean them a little bit for it to be really sexy. Right. But no, I think purposely they were not showing any men in a good light at all. So I'm going to say that that's going to be lower on like the 10. I'm going to give it a 10.
A 10.
I thought I like Adam Brody and his eyeliner.
His eyeliner, sure.
Yeah. There's
and how he cups that microphone. You know, someone's a serious singer. When they're holding the back of a microphone, get out of here.
Yeah.
Seducer.
Do you know that was not his vote? Is not his voice in those songs?
It did not surprise me to hear you say it. Never thought it might have been. So
it never even crossed my mind. Yeah, it's pretty low. I think that one scene with Chip is kind of it. I'll go 25.
25. I don't know. I'm going to give it a 9. Pretty low for me. Giving it a 14.67, which is 8 points higher than The Craft. So, okay.
All right.
And that had Skeet Ulrich.
He's a bad guy in it, though.
He's always when is he a good guy in a movie? I'm sure he has been. Someone's screaming. That show, Eureka. What was that show he was in? Not Eureka. We're like Jericho. Was like a nuclear apocalypse. Remember that
Eureka,
show was on for like
Jericho.
3 seasons.
No.
I knew it was something biblical. All right, our next category: entrances with pizzazz.
I mean.
Jennifer does slink into every scene.
Every scene.
She's a slinker.
She lands on your car, bloodied and snarling. Come
on. You think she's coming one way, and then you turn around, she's right there.
Mm-hmm. I like how they did that a couple times where you saw her walking in one direction, and then she entered from the other side of the screen. That was really fun.
Yeah.
I also thought J.K. Simmons just entering with "This is a dark day in Devil's Kettle" was pretty funny.
And I mean, we'll get there later, but that hook, that for no reason, the hook.
It was like, why are we making a Talladega Nights now? Like, why is this big jokey choice here?
And his accent? Like, J.K. Simmons had this weird, like Minnesota, weird Midwest accent that I was very confused by.
Yeah, I couldn't quite place where that city was supposed to be.
And that wig felt like he was just like, right before his first shot, he just went into like a costume room, was like, I'm wearing this, and no one said no.
They're like, okay, great.
And then they're right, like, fine. We've already shot one scene with him in that wig, he's gotta keep wearing it.
It's established.
Wait, what was the question? Oh, entrances
with pizzazz. I also thought Amy Sedaris had a fun one when she goes, had another one of my night terrors.
That's a great way to enter a room. Yeah,
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I really liked it. I'm going to give that a 95. Every time Jennifer, there was never a time Jennifer didn't enter in a way that was like, wow, look at her go.
You don't cast Megan Fox when you want subtlety.
No.
Yeah, but I think it was mostly just her. And there wasn't any like super, super big ones. But I will go 78.
I'm sorry, what if you kick through a prison window?
That's true.
And then burst through and then kick through a prison gate or a fence.
And then Needy does jump in through Jennifer's window, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Smashing.
All right.
A smashing success.
I'll go 83 then.
Okay, thank you.
83. I'm going to go
lobbied.
80.
Ooh.
There are some, but I've seen pizzazzier.
Yeah.
90s were in a late 2000s. When was this movie made?
2008.
Not a great time, I feel, for possession. Everything had to be grounded and ironic. Right. All right, our next category, the Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety would this movie give Mike Pence?
Mother would have to hold him all night. I think he would hate every moment of it.
I would think so. A woman in charge?
No,
a woman doing what she wants?
Yes.
Women expressing their sexuality with each other.
Also, we couldn't even find a virgin to kill. What the fuck? You know?
The horrors.
Uh-huh.
Satanism.
Right. Yeah.
Making light of demons.
Even the good girls having sex. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Where do we land? I did look up on Christian Spotlight on the movies. They did say this was extremely offensive. But they also had a whole paragraph where the reviewer lists every, like, in sexual innuendo and every single erotic moment in exhausting detail, which very like, how is this any different from Mr. Skin?
Right.
It's the same thing. And he literally said, I was squirming in my seat. And I thought, I bet you were, you piece of shit. So I think this is pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you say, Marcy?
I don't know if I said a number yet. Did I?
Go for it. Say a number. Just say a number.
And then for Mike Pence, I'm going to say this is going to be a 95 for Mike Pence.
95.
Just because women are talking the entire time.
Sure.
I will say 95 as well.
95. I don't know. I think this is 100. I think this is pretty, no one talks about Jesus.
They talk about the devil so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got a 96.67, tying it with Society, but still 0.33 points lower than Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're going to make up a lot of points here, too. I think Hell on Heels, Feisty Ladies.
100. Come on.
It's Jennifer's Body.
That's Please.
True. The first line of the movie is Hell is a Teenage Girl.
Yes. Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. How about when Needy kicked in the nutritionist's teeth.
Who was being very nice to her.
And yeah. The whole...
She didn't do anything wrong.
The whole institution started clapping. They hated that nutritionist.
They hated her. Always tried to help us. You want to talk about a thankless job. Try being a nutritionist in a woman's prison.
Oh, gosh.
I'll go 98.
98. I mean, I think this is 100. Well, she's eating innocent boys, John.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Giving it a 99.33, which is 3 points higher than the house bunny.
Ooh.
And tying it with The Craft. Interesting.
I also really love that she got better looking. But she was like, oh, finally, my hair looks good again.
All right. Our next category, Chosen Families. How would you rate this on Chosen Families? Sadly, the only one I could think of was the evil band.
Yeah.
I felt like Jennifer, even though she was a demon, still did choose Needy as her family. But
I don't know if two people is enough.
Wow. You're going
to. That's a couple.
Wow.
Family, Needy the third to make it a family.
A lot of only children from single parent households going to be really upset right now.
When aren't they upset?
Wow. But I also feel like Megan Fox would, like, she went after that one guy, I think his name was Colin, when she was like, oh, you kind of like him? I'm going to, like, she did things to be kind of shitty too. I
mean, oh, she was, they had
is your family nice to you? I'm sorry.
Yeah. They had an unhealthy relationship, I think it's, even before the demon shows up. She's like pushing Needy and.
Oh, yeah. True. Yeah.
I think she liked her, like, I have a friend I'm better than.
Yeah.
Who is in love around, and yeah. obsessed with me.
That's mm-hmm.
This
classic,
works out great for Jennifer.
That is a classic dynamic, though.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think we should call them chosen families. That's like makes real chosen families like it's maybe a little insulting to like you're okay. like this abusive friendship I know.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, sometimes that's how it is, but I'll give it a 30.
30.
For the band, I'll give it a 5.
A 5. Let's hear it for the band. Oh, boy, were they terrible music, huh? Low Shoulder? Oh, get out of here. Throw it in the
Low
gutter.
Low Shoulder.
Then I was listening. I was like, what are they meant to sound like? I settled on who I think they were meant to sound like of, like, the time. I was like, oh, they're like a Snow Patrol-ish, like kind of like a ballad you would hear on, like, a WB show.
Oh, that makes sense, though. Low Shoulder, Snow Patrol.
Snow Patrol. It does make sense.
It's very road. Yeah, inspired.
Very road theme. You couldn't get enough road bands back then. I'll give it a 3 for Chosen Family.
Oh, boy. I went too high. But you know what? I stick to it. Sisters are mean.
Yeah.
Got a 12.67, which is 3 points lower than the Emperor's New Groove. All right. Our next category, macabre. How macabre is Jennifer's Body? It's pretty darn macabre.
It's pretty darn macabre.
9/11 themed shots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She didn't even drink them. That was my biggest problem with the whole movie. I was like, she just sat the... She's an underage girl. She bought the shots in front of a future cop and then just sat them down. Right. What is happening?
And I believe as Diablo Cody was the bartender.
Fun.
Oh, good for her. Get out there.
Getting her SAG
money. It was crazy how I thought, like, oh, this came out 7 years after 9/11. But I feel like if you did like a 9/11 themed shots joke now, people would be more offended now than they were at the time this came out.
Because we had our 20 year. Yeah. But yeah, I think soup to nuts, you know, like when the kids are all crying in the school, Jennifer's kind of walk strutting, looking her best. Yeah, like that's, she's like, this is the, she literally says, this is the best day of my life.
It was wild how that bar fire started at first. Like, it happened so quickly.
It sure
like
did.
It takes literally 10 seconds to this, for this bar to be completely engulfed, like, complete chaos. It happened so quick. I was like, is this a dream? Because they said Needy was seeing like hallucinations at the beginning. So I thought, wait, is this all, is most of this movie in Needy's mind? But it wasn't. It was really happening. It just caught on fire really quick.
I thought the same, though.
Do we think Adam Brody like and the band set it up? Because he seems so unfazed by it. And I realized we learned later that like, oh, they were looking for a virgin to sacrifice. But you would think that like, if you were performing and a bar like caught on fire, you would still be freaked out by that. And he just seemed,
I don't know.
Like,
have you seen some of the venues we've done in our improv days?
Sure. But well, I imagine that like, he was like, oh, could like by taking her and sacrificing her, it would be so easy to think, oh, she probably died in the fire. As opposed to like looking for a missing girl, a missing body.
Maybe, like, but that wasn't like set up at all. You know what I mean? They never.
I could see that too. I had I was trying to decide what that was, or if he just was soulless, so he didn't.
Right. I mean, obviously care. He's soulless because they're like, let's sacrifice someone so we have a better career for a shitty band.
I gotta say, also that murder scene was so. Considering how fucking dark it is, it's so funny.
Yeah.
It was weird tonally, I thought, that scene.
We want to be like Maroon 5. I thought it was funny.
I thought it was very funny.
We want to be like Maroon 5. Of course.
Wait,
that's
hold
like
on
the worst people's dreams.
Wait, so this is macabre, right?
Macabre. Yeah. I think the whole thing's pretty dang macabre.
I'm going to give it 100. I don't know how it could have gotten more.
Less quips?
Well, we don't less want that.
But we don't want that. That's a different movie.
Mm-hmm. I'll go 97.
97. Yeah, I'm going to go, I'm going to go 95. Because the quippy tone makes it seem like this isn't that heavy.
Okay.
Give it a 97.33. All right, our next category, dramatic lighting.
Ooh.
How dramatic that lighting. Yeah. It's pretty good. I thought it looked really great, the movie.
Oh, absolutely. Think about the pool scene. That was great.
Love the pool scene.
Even just running towards it with the fog.
Was
over
that pool house part of the high school? It's like, why is this so far from the high school? Where is this pool house exist?
That pool house raised more questions than it could possibly have answered. I will say without a doubt. I was like, what is this pool? Why did Amanda Seyfried know to run there?
It had like a Roman theme.
She heard someone scream.
Did she find like a scarf or something?
She found her orchid.
Was like, oh my God, the pool.
The building, I see.
She
right
heard scream. There was a scream, right?
But she was already running to it when she found the orchid.
Yes. No, she found the orchid and then heard the scream and was like, the pool house, and ran across.
She was
at the
prom and then was like, I gotta go, and was running and then found the orchid.
Yes.
And then was like, I'm on the right
movie right now.
Direction.
Anyway, beautiful lighting. Beautiful lighting.
I dramatic. Thought the solitary stuff looked great.
Solitary confinement stuff was great.
How about a bunch of candles in an abandoned house?
Nasty.
That was very dramatic.
Emo boy.
The goth. Was he goth or emo?
I think he was emo. Goth. Yeah.
Fine line between the two.
He had eyeliner, not like a pale base. That's more emo.
Yeah. Lip ring, not an eyebrow ring. You know, there's a lot of things that are.
Where's the ring? Right.
Yeah.
So, what do you want to give this for dramatic lighting?
I'm going to give it an 85, realistically. Yes.
Please. Don't go into some fanciful headspace.
I'll go 86.
86. I'll go 87. How about that? Isn't that fun? We're having fun.
Yeah.
Giving an average of 86. All right. Our next category, vibrato.
So for this, as always, we mean, in addition to literal vibrato, anytime they take a moment, give you a little extra, zhuzh it up more than it needs, but they give it to you and you like it.
Mm.
I would say for me, like all of the voiceover felt very vibrato to me. Like anytime there's voiceover in a movie, it feels kind of vibrato-y to me.
Oh, you're going to love the original release of Blade Runner.
Oh, can't wait. Also, like there was singing, there was a band, so there's a little vibrato there.
Yes.
How that fire broke out so quickly. The town was called Devil's Kettle.
Right.
And just the zippy, like the amount of quips per minute. was extra. Like, they're making quips while they're killing each other.
Also, when Amanda, when Needy says, like, ugh, that band's terrible. And then the girl's like, no, they're not. They're heroes.
I like that scene. That
very, how dare you?
Yeah.
Heroes. Let's see how I put a number on that. I'm going to say, because I don't know if I fully wrap my mind around it, I'm going to give it a 50.
50. Conservative.
I think they give you a little extra. It's not a ton. Although I, with the band too, I was also like, wait, they have three guitars in a band? That seemed
that's
a lot
funny.
To me.
That's funny.
You've never been to a drive-by truckers show, I see, John.
I have not. You're correct, Mark.
They got two lead guitars and a rhythm guitars and then a bassist.
Oh, so that's four?
Four guitars. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I will give for that. I'll give it a 64 then.
64.
For the drive-by truckers.
I saw them in concert in San Francisco, a three-hour show.
Wow,
but get this.
You must have hated that.
It was great.
Oh.
They delivered.
Interesting.
I'll give it a, I'm going to give it a 70. I think the whole thing's pretty extra. The whole movie, like just the curly Q font lets you know, mm-hmm. oh, we're in a fun space here. Let's not take it too seriously. Giving it a 61.33, which is the lowest. That's 20 points lower than The Emperor's New Groove. Ouch.
Well, there's a lot of songs in that
there's
movie.
There's a lot of songs.
And Eartha Kitt.
Yeah. So what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Our next category, footwork. How would you rate the footwork? Well, Needy
She's
has
kicker.
Been labeled a kicker.
She does kick a lot. And Jennifer jumping on cars. And how did she even get out of that second story window? We didn't even know where she went.
Well, she can fly now. She can levitate.
Yes, she did
she can
fly.
Levitate, not fly. It's not as impressive. The movie teaches us.
That's true. There's also the color guard.
Oh, color my guard, gosh.
Yeah.
A beautiful footwork.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, again, when Siegfried was running away from the prom, her arms were doing this weird thing that made
that
me
was so funny. I was like, is that how she runs or is that a choice?
Was it a choice?
Or, I feel like it wasn't a choice, but just like she ran like a scarecrow.
Yeah, it was weird the way her arms pumped sideways. It made no sense.
Maybe that's how the dress forced her to run.
I guess so. That was dress was also weird. It felt like
it
from
wild.
A very different era.
Yes.
Fun. It's prom, John.
Yeah, but it wasn't 2009 prom.
No, but it was prom, classic prom. Classic,
yes.
Classic 80s prom. So. Is
it
the
felt
collection.
Like it was out of like a Valley of the Dolls or something like that. It didn't feel like a hip 2009 prom.
Correct. I agree. So that makes it correct. let's see.
That
fancy
is
footwork.
Now fact. Thank
okay.
You.
You know what? There wasn't enough dancing, so I'm going to give this like a 45.
45.
I think just based on the fact that she's called a kicker, to me, we'll give it a 70.
Ooh.
70, John.
Mark.
I'll give it a 64. Give it an average of 59.67. All right. This is the last of the canon categories. Marcy, on a scale of 0 to 200, how likely are you to recommend Jennifer's body to a gay person?
0 to 200?
100.
I was like, why did the numbers change all of a sudden?
Oh, you just wait.
Let's see. I'm going to say 75% chance that I would recommend it to a gay person, especially a gay woman or female identifying.
75.
Again, I feel like there are a lot of the stuff that Jennifer's Body does, there are other movies that I think are do it better or in a more enjoyable way. But I do think it's good. I think 75 is a good score. I'll go with that as well.
75. I think gay people would really appreciate a movie where Megan Fox is a demon and eats boys.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 90.
Wow.
I think there's one you know. You got to watch Jennifer's Body.
You got to watch. Hey, gays, I think you would like Jennifer's Body.
I'm genuinely happy that I did watch it.
Me too. Out of 5 stars, what are you giving it?
Oh, I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Wow, that's huge. Hey. It's one of your favorite films of the year.
Honestly, there's not a lot out, so sure.
One of your favorite films of 2021
came
out
seen
in 2009.
Pig?
No, but you know,
Lamb?
I saw the Brittany Murphy doc. That
no,
was sad.
No, really? The Brittany Murphy doc is sad?
It is, Mark.
I believe, of course it is. That's like emotional pornography, that thing. Well, got an 80. All right, now we're into the wheel category.
Okay.
So these categories are categories that previous guests brought in, And so we've put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So we're going to spin it three times. Whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie.
I was really hoping for camp. That's why. But that used to be. Okay. Okay.
Then it's the host choice. And this week it is Mark's turn to pick a category. And then after that, you, Marcy, will come up with a category, which we will add to the wheel.
Okay.
Judge this movie and potentially future movies.
Okay.
Begin all that?
No, but I figured.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Unnecessary nipples.
Unnecessary. I don't know if there's any nipples.
I didn't really clock any nipples.
There was no nipples.
I have the hardest time writing the word unnecessary.
Well, you shouldn't.
Especially in relation
Thank
to
you,
nipples.
Marcy. That's so nice of you to say.
Gosh.
Sweetheart.
No nipples at all, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Not even on boys.
Even when there was a sex
Johnny
scene.
Johnny Simmons, he was, he, the way
he was
from
staged, the back mostly.
Was in his, yeah.
It was very tasteful.
I guess we did see his, we probably did see his nipples in the sex scene he was having with Amanda Seyfried.
I can't remember. I don't know if we did.
I don't think we did.
I think we might
Maybe
have.
Briefly.
They were like putting on the.
But also that like, wouldn't be unnecessary in a sex scene.
Right. It didn't feel like. It Extra. Didn't feel. Do we need nipples here? Like they were ostensibly right. sort of naked.
Do we need nipples here? Anybody?
We got,
no?
We
okay.
got the nipple wrangler. Tell the nipple wrangler she can go back to her trailer.
What do we do? Give it a zero then? Oh,
you can.
Boy. Yeah. No nipples.
You're giving it a zero? Is that correct?
I mean, there's no nipples.
There's no nipples.
Not even when she's naked or cold or wet.
Nope.
I'll give it a three.
Three based on nothing.
Nothing.
I'll give it a zero. I was trying to think, is there even like a baby bottle or anything? You know, but there wasn't. You know, rave culture was still in its dying days.
Sure, sure.
In this year. Giving it a one in unnecessary nipples.
Okay.
Unnecessary nipples from our Batman and Robin episode with Tony Rodriguez.
Okay, here we go. Real bodies.
Real bodies.
I mean, that body. That's a real body. Or what do we mean? Yes. Like average bodies?
I think like bodies you don't typically like, see in major
you'd
motion
be like, oh,
pictures.
You would see that when you went out in your real life. As opposed
you know,
to
like a movie from
gorgeous.
The 70s is more prone to have real bodies than a movie from 2008.
Yeah, not a
ton of real bodies. In the woman's prison, there's a lot of real bodies in there.
I suppose,
yeah, there's and then all the like adults have real bodies.
J.K. Simmons has a real body.
I think
but
Chris
he also
Pratt.
Has like a fake hand.
Are you gonna say that's not a real body? That
wow,
can
John.
Really happen.
I'm saying but that's
that
not can, really his body.
That can really happen though.
Like, I know it can really happen. I agree with that. But it did feel like a weird sketch comedy choice rather
Absolutely.
Than something
yeah.
that was actually happening, you know.
The football player who got killed first, real body.
Oh, he had a real body.
A little bit, yeah.
Chris Pratt back in his real body days.
Mm, I think it was still.
No, he's chubby. He's got like a double chin.
I don't know. I think he was like.
I saw it.
I did.
Before sort of like the highest of his Parks and Rec days. It was sort of that to me. It still felt a little like. I think I'm a movie star. Then he sort of was like, I'm a character actor. And then they're like, nope, you're a movie star.
Yeah. So
when
I guess
will he be interesting?
When he kills someone.
Oh.
That's what he needs.
Is
That's
that
his next career move.
Everyone gets very interesting
a
when
real,
he kills someone.
A real scandal. You know, I wasn't interested in Chris Pratt. Then he killed somebody. And now
like,
I really
going
love
on here? What's this
passengers.
Story?
I'm pulling up a picture of Chris Pratt. He certainly has a chubby baby face still.
Okay.
Well, he's probably young too, right? Wasn't he like probably early 20s at this time? What are we saying? What are we? Who cares? Like he's
okay,
in one scene.
I think for real bodies, we can. I can only go to like 25.
25.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 12.
12. I'll go 20. Give an average of 19. Real Bodies is from our cruising episode with Elliot Glazer.
Okay, here we go. Dramatic smoking. Well, there was a moment where Megan Fox was about to light a cigarette and Chris Pratt grabbed it out of her mouth.
Oh, yeah.
She does light her tongue on fire.
That's
Have you seen
cool.
today, just today, Bratz, you know, the Bratz dolls on Twitter, they recreated the scene where she lights her tongue on fire with Bratz dolls.
Wow.
So Jennifer's body has entered the conversation.
We're okay. Part of it. Thank you.
All right, so for lighting her tongue on fire, I will give her a 15.
15. You're basically just eliminating the middleman. You know, you don't need a cigarette to give yourself mouth cancer.
Or tobacco.
Or tobacco.
I mean, there is also that club that, you know, catches fire.
Is that smoking? Because the building did smoke.
There were people on fire.
There were people on fire. There was smoking going on.
But I feel like the flames were really the star of the show, and the smoke was secondary. That, like, you didn't hear a lot of "stay low." There wasn't a lot of that.
Exactly. Very good point, Mark. Very good point.
Yeah, we're surrounded by flames. Get out of here.
I'll give it an 18.
18. Yeah, I'll go. I don't know. Well, the tongue thing. I'll give it 20 for lighting her tongue on fire. Finally, it is time for me.
Yes.
My host choice for category. And I thought there were quite a few I could have chosen. Not that anyone's interested in my thought process, but I decided to go with a more recent category from the House Bunny, weaponizing sex.
Oh my gosh, 100%. It's all weaponized.
Yeah.
It's basically, this movie is weaponizing Megan Fox.
Definitely. But even in the scene with Needy and Jennifer, that scene is like very weaponized for both ways too. Like,
I'd say the only sex in this movie that isn't weaponized is between Needy and Chip.
Because she's closeted and that she's not interested in him.
Well, doesn't she also have like horrific visions while it's happening of like blood dripping from the ceiling?
Sure.
Yeah, she
as all
her
closeted
mind,
people do.
Even as she was having sex with him, she was still thinking of Jennifer.
Sure. I mean, it wouldn't be hard in this high school for any person to compete with. I would be thinking of Jennifer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How you'd like to dress her. Sure, yeah.
I want her to like me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She's mean, but can she be fun and mean?
Yeah, as I would want a third person there, but I wouldn't want it to be just her and I.
What would she say? No. What's up, Monistat? Or how would she say what's something Monistat? She kept saying like, "Where is it at, Monistat?" Yeah. Or something like that.
How's your snatch hanging? Something like that.
Yeah.
She was crass. We can all admit.
Very crass.
So, well, yeah. What would you give Jennifer's body for weaponizing sex?
I'm giving it 100.
100.
I'll give it an 85 just because there was that one genuine emotional sex scene.
But there's also so much of weaponizations of sex. So I think I'll give it 100. Why not? Giving it 100. Give an average of 95. All right, Marcy, the time has come for you to come up with a category that we can throw onto the wheel.
Let's say men wearing eyeliner.
Men wearing eyeliner.
Yeah, guyliner.
There's a ton of that.
There was a ton of that. That's why I picked it. I want to get a good score.
Mm-hmm. You know, Noah Fielding from Great British Baking Show would do very well in this category.
He would, yes.
You don't watch that, Marcy, every Saturday morning? Just a nice, easy way to wake up on a Saturday morning. Just on that baking show.
So much reality TV. I've watched so much reality TV to keep up with my podcasts.
So there's no room for a Great British
Baking
Show.
There's no room.
You guys can't cover that on Ellis for Losers. It's in the pop. It's in the zeitgeist. Not trashy enough.
Well, if they fight on it, I'll watch it.
What if Erica Jane shows up and lies about something?
I mean,
very British Erica Jane.
She may have to because she needs money.
She needs. Well, you don't win money on baking show. It's a British.
She needs to learn to trade. She's got to learn to trade.
Yeah. She go back to that bar. Be a bartender.
That's true.
What do you want to give Jennifer's body for men wearing eyeliner?
There's
the band and that goth kid.
The goth kid, yeah. So I was going to say like, and it's not like the band keeps coming back too.
They do,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say 60.
60 for the category you came up with.
I'm going to give it an 85.
85. I was trying, what would be 100? I guess maybe like Velvet Goldmine would be up there.
Yeah, probably that.
I'll give this I've seen more, but I'll give it 65. giving an average of 70. All right, now we're into the bonus categories.
These categories, as the name implies, are just bonus. So they're just extra points. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it's okay. It's not going to work against the movie. But so we're rating it from out. 0 to 10.
Okay.
All right, the first one is musical potential. Could you see a musical made out of Jennifer's body? And I should say, they did make one at El Cid in 2019.
Yeah. Okay, then that's an unauthorized a 10. One. That's a 10. I could see it too. I could see solos and yeah.
It's basically all about Eve. You could do the same. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Which they've made into a musical.
There you go.
Yeah, and the soundtrack is pretty, has like some pretty like iconic 2009 songs.
Like what?
I don't know. Let me look at the sound. I mean, the whole song. There you go.
Sure. Well, technically, that song isn't. Well, there's Violet.
But you would have it in there.
The Jennifer's.
But I mean, you got Panic at the Disco, Florence and the Machine.
These are not songs. These are bands, John.
Oh, sorry. Kiss with a Fist, New Perspective, New In
These
Town.
Are not iconic songs.
What is it? Trees? What is it? Coming through the trees. There you go. No. There's your ballad.
That was an original.
There
you're,
yeah. That's
by Low Shoulders.
There you go. Yeah, I'll give it a 9.
A 9. You think they might have a little trouble?
I think some of this stuff is like wouldn't lend itself to stage stuff, but could be fun.
You could do the levitating. We love a big end thing with wire work.
We love a Peter.
Save the wire work for the end, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you ever start with wire work, or are people like you peaked? I mean, there's nowhere to go.
You pretty much do Spider-Man the musical. You pretty much did. Hmm. I mean, I think if you're doing it, you're like, we're paying for this, so we're already here. So let's get them up there.
Then why were they constantly slowly dropping that chandelier in Phantom?
I don't know, Mark.
Our next category.
What did you give it?
A 10.
Okay.
I think this is ripe for it. Mostly you can just say out of high school, easy. You don't even need that burning bar. Just have it all at the high school.
A lot of shadow work can be done too.
Puppets.
Oh, shadow puppets. Mm-hmm.
Well, sure. No, you can just have like a scrim and like
scrim.
People. Yeah. Oh,
Jennifer, yeah. No.
Scrims coming on stage.
Jennifer, I thought you were into me. Jennifer.
A red wash. Yeah.
Jennifer. Jennifer, no. I'm auditioning. Our next category, queer menace.
Oh, Jennifer.
Well, Jennifer is pretty much a queer menace, I would say.
Yeah, she's 10.
But she's just menacing all the boys.
But not until she does.
But she
menace.
Swings both ways.
That's the thing with bisexuality, John. You got to get your head around it.
Like, she's not having sex with the boys. Like... She's eating them.
But she did have sex with the boys, too.
But she did. But I don't feel like she's like... Here's this weird energy coming into town. It's like, I don't know. To
you don't think
feel...
Jennifer has a weird energy?
I think she does. I think she has like a queer energy. Like, all the guys are like going for it. It's not like if Jennifer was a boy, you know, if it was
you could
Joseph's
be queer
body,
and sexually attractive at the same time.
I,
it's a
I'm
queer
not saying
and unusual
that,
energy.
But I'm just saying like she's doing like it's very like heteronormative of like, hey, boy, come to me in the wood. Come with me in the woods and do that. It's not
well,
like
that's a... what she presents. But the reality is yeah. that she is truly going to mm-hmm. eat them.
Yeah,
sure. But it doesn't feel queer, the menace of it to me.
I think a young woman eating young boys is feels pretty
what's queer about that? The girls and the boys. What is
transgression?
Queer exactly?
They're killing the boys.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're
and that's
killing
queer.
The...
Killing is queer.
Killing no, but
a young woman killing
but
boys
she's not...
feels like it's a version of you know
it's
power.
A version, but how is that? But sexuality.
None of the queer? Men that she kills are people she's attracted to. She's not doing it because she wants to have
gotcha.
Sex with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's doing because that's how she gets her power, her demon powers.
And in fact, the
and
only
so
person,
queer.
The sure. only person that she actually does,
you're not
seem
gonna
to...
be convinced no matter what we say, John.
Yeah,
so what
well,
does
but you haven't said okay. anything convincing. That's why.
Who is
I don't
the
care.
Only? Wait, just ask, who is the only person that she actually had
emotional
didn't
connection.
Have like a connection
or
with
a kiss?
Them, what
a kiss without
into...
without yes. killing them
yes.
is needy.
Correct.
So would you say Jennifer is queer? We've already given her the points that she's a gay character, actual gay character. And she is also a menace. So is she not a queer menace?
But I don't think she's specifically queer. I think she's bi. I mean, like at the beginning of the movie, she
bi is queer.
Sure. Okay. But I don't think like her bisexuality is part of like, it's not that she's not tempting women to go into the woods either to like.
Well, because boys are bad.
Okay.
Women didn't kill her.
We're both using the same argument style. So we just shout our points and don't agree. And that's
well,
okay.
He can also have a different number, too. That's fine.
This is true.
That's true.
It might be higher than mine.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want
Marcy,
to give? What'd
you
give it, Marcy? Did you say?
10.
Two hands. You showed all her fingers and a thumbs.
I'll give it a, I don't think Megan Fox is a queer menace. I think she's a menace to boys as a woman, and there's nothing about that that feels queer to me. I'll give it a one.
One political.
You should go on some Reddit men's right activism boards then, apparently. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right, good. I'll spend more time there.
More time. I'm going to give it, I'll give it a 8. Give it an average of 6.33. All right. Our next category, character actress makes a big swing.
Well, actress. Okay, God, because boy, J.K. Simmons' name.
he's going a big
swing. He took the biggest swing.
I think Sedaris not going broad is a big swing.
Yeah.
Playing grounded is nice.
Yeah. I would agree. I would give that an 8.
8.
Yeah, I think that's kind of it. And I think she really is just in one scene. Is that correct?
Seems like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give it a 4.
4. That's a lot of weight. I'll give it a 4. I'll give an average of 5.33.
You're misunderstood, but it's fine.
It's okay.
Fine, I'm cares. Still trying to give it to J.K. Simmons in my head.
Sure. He's that potent. All right. Our next category, witches. How witchy is Jennifer's body?
I mean, there's a whole occult section in their high school library.
Yeah. And Jennifer's is a demon now, essentially, a succubus. That's fairly witchy energy.
Yeah, if I don't want to like start splitting hairs about the difference between pagans and Satanists, but you know,
we've split enough hairs in this episode already.
I think that's, yeah, you're right. But the power of the pussy, I'm going to say that, yeah, that's a good 7.
7. Like, I think witches would be fans of Jennifer.
Absolutely.
Oh, she could definitely like join a coven. They'd be like, come on in, girl. Y'all give it a 7 as well.
7. Oops. You guys don't need to hear about my troubles. 7. I'll give it an 8 because young woman eating people, transferring powers. Great. Our next category, gay actors playing gay roles. Well, Megan Fox is bisexual, playing a bisexual.
Bisexual, yeah.
So
that's the only, that was the only one.
Marcy, right. the highest score we've had in the last 8 movies is 0.67. So the fact that there is an actual bisexual playing a real bisexual is somewhat groundbreaking.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't happen a lot.
Even though it was only the one.
Even though it's only the one, I do think that is
notable. She's the titular character.
But she is, exactly. So I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it a 6.
6.
I'll give it a 5.
5. I mean, I'll give it a 7. I mean, it's, you know what? I'm going to give it an 8. I mean, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Just
wow.
Giving it a 6.33, which is indeed the highest. The next highest was Society, which only had a 0.67%. All right. Our next category, themes of mothers.
None. There's no mom.
A little bit.
There's
mothers. To say, but one day you're going to cry out to me and I'm not going to be there. There's something about like, there's a little bit there for Sedaris, I thought.
I mean, that one scene there has been overall, like the movie, not so much.
I 100% agree. I'm saying that's just like the one thing I could argue.
And then I guess you see Jennifer's mom finally at the end when she sees her daughter's corpse.
Right after she says, my tit.
Yeah.
Great dying line.
Funny. She's funny.
It's funny. Megan Fox was I was like, why get put her, Robert Carlock, pick up the phone.
I'm gonna give for moms just a 1.
A 1.
Yeah, I'll also give it a 1.
I too will give it a 1. Hey guys, we're all on the same page. Let's just remember we're back united. Give an average of 1. All right, our next one. Drinks thrown in faces.
Wow. Can you believe none?
Well, don't you think in a way kicking that nurse in the chest and then spitting on her in a way is more of a heightened drink thrown in the face?
There's a way. There's a little bit of energy in that. There's also the 2 times that Megan Fox throws up Hershey syrup, we learn, on people. There's
the spiky syrup?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess if blood is a drink.
Just the same thing that has the energy, like a, you know, right. a fuck off.
And then maybe the mass murder at the end. I'm sure there was some whiskey spilt when
sure.
When Needy finally got her revenge. But I'm going to give that a 2.
A 2.
I will also give it a 2.
A 2. I'll give it a 3 for kicking that poor nutritionist. All right, last
Yay!
One.
Yay! Everyone was so excited.
We don't like her. She took away the frosted flakes. All right, our next one. Quips.
Quips.
How quippy is it? I mean, it's constant. It's mostly quips.
It's quippity. It's Diablo Cody. That is like her signature.
Diablo
is quippy, just...
some would say.
Some there, might, yeah.
What the fuck? Why is it? I've never heard that before, and it's perfect.
It should be her email signature.
Diablo?
From the desk of Diablo Quippy.
Quippy. That's a 10. It's the quippiest. Even if a lot of them are things people would no longer say.
They're dated. But that's kind of the fun of these things now. Like, enough time has passed. Like, oh, that's funny. They're talking about MySpace.
Yeah.
I'll give it an 8.
I'm going to give it, I don't know. I thought that's pretty fun. I'll give it a 10. Give it a 9.33. And then finally, not finally, second to last, finally, penultimate.
There you go. That's the word.
The iconic categories.
So these categories are sort of larger, wider umbrella categories. So we're back to 0 to 100.
Okay.
And the first one, Marcy, is homoeroticism. How homoerotic is Jennifer's body?
I mean, not through, well, you know, there is.
There are moments.
It is a bit of a through line. And then that one big scene.
Right.
I'm going to say that's a 65.
65.
Yeah, we have like a brief moment at the bar where Amanda Seyfried like grabs Megan Fox's hand for like a second.
It's very sweet.
Very sweet. And that sort of establishes that like, oh, she really likes her. And there's that one scene. I will go 63.
And also just the charge of Needy's and Jennifer's relationship has that.
Yeah.
Right.
A horny crackle. Also a great breakfast cereal. Horny crackle. but yeah, I'll give it a 65 as well. Giving it a 64.33, which is 40 points higher than the Emperor's New Groove. So take that. All right, our next one. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Jennifer's body and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Yes. I feel like Jennifer's body is like perfect for drag.
Yes, I think so. I've already Googled Jennifer's body drag and there were quite a few results.
I'm sure.
What were the images up? Like,
they do a lot of when she's like solo and like she hasn't been fed in a while. Like when she's looking like wan and gaunt and so many midriffs and cropped fitted hoodies.
Even that like the flag team outfit.
The color guard.
Like. Yeah. I used to call them flaggets.
Wow, Marcy.
That is an
now you're...
That's an actual group.
The flaggets.
At Gay Pride. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. So there's somewhere to go with color guard after high school.
Yeah.
Thank
it's not
God.
A wasted skill.
Thank God.
unlike geometry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
the tongue burning alone would be like, that would be great to see a drag queen do. Figure it out. Just put wax on it. I don't know. I'm sure it's possible.
I don't know. Someone figure it out. It's my idea.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's like, I think there's a lot, just the whole vibe. Color guard, white midriff coat, bloody Jennifer, her fucked up eyes.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 75.
Even the out of date prom dresses.
Absolutely.
I think all that stuff is true, but nothing, I don't feel like there's an iconic look that would make me go like, oh my God, that's Jennifer's body that you're doing.
I think maybe that cropped the hoodie with the little hearts on it.
Maybe that would be the closest one.
And also her just in the white hoodie, just like bloody, I think would get it. Like you see like a girl, like a high school girl, like in like teen clothes covered in blood. I would think probably Jennifer's body.
It's really makeup focused.
Yeah. I'm going to go 50.
50. I'll go 70. Give an average of 65. All right. The last of the iconic categories. You've been waiting for this, Marcy. Camp factor.
Oh, my gosh. J.K. Simmons. Bringing in the camp. I thought it was very campy. And maybe that's just my understanding of camp, that it was all so over the top and silly. And the archetypes are so silly. So I think I think it was very campy. But J.K. Simmons, for real.
I loved it when he said, we can't let that fire win.
Yeah,
that really tickled me.
Anytime a movie plays like a high school morning for laughs, there's some camp there.
Yeah, like that, and the scene I already talked about, the girl who's like, they're heroes.
I loved her.
So funny.
She was hell on heels. We should have brought her up then.
She was.
Oh man, and the Maroon 5 thing. I think the murder scene was so campy.
It was upsetting and campy at the same time.
I thought the end credit revenge sequence over the credits, that was very campy to me.
Even throwing the knife into Devil's Kettle, and then her finding it suddenly, and it's the shiniest knife you ever saw.
Yeah.
Didn't rust
like
at all.
Like a real dishwasher in there, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start throwing my dishes down Devil's Kettle.
How come none of the scientists could figure out where it goes? Out. Their little balls stumbles didn't work. There was like one orange ball and a knife, and she's like,
"I cracked it."
And she found it hitchhiking while she escaped from prison. 90. Sure. 90.
I'll give it an 81.
81. All right, I got a quick list of campy things. Here we go. Prison fan mail, split diopter shots, BFF necklaces, sticker toilets, having to sit on a bag of frozen peas after losing your backdoor virginity, going to your friend's house in the middle of the night to raid their fridge, puke blood on the floor, kiss their neck, and immediately leaving, not caring that much that people died in a fire, J.K. Simmons in a wig, a sympathetic goth, woodland creatures gathering to watch your hot makeout sesh, fried bologna sandwiches, a deer eating a corpse, people at a candlelight vigil singing a terrible song, performing a virgin sacrifice while singing Jenny 8675309, anytime a character has to do paranormal research, making reservations at the Cheesecake Factory, nagging someone's flying ability as just levitating, and finally, this movie was edited by someone named Plummy Tucker. So I think it's pretty, I'm gonna give it a 95.
Wow.
Giving an average of 88.67, which is 6 points higher than The Emperor's New Groove. Well
done.
That
makes no sense.
Finally, the crown jewels.
So these categories, we don't rate. We all say whether we think it gets it or not.
Okay.
All right. The first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Jennifer's body have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I don't think we could quite say that.
Say no to that.
There's not a lot of role models in this movie.
No.
But it certainly makes it seem fun.
Yes.
Sure.
So maybe there's that. Like, it doesn't always have to be the morally correct thing. It could just be fun, too.
I don't even think
and who's establishing these
Jennifer's
morals?
Like having fun, though.
I think you don't think Jennifer's having fun?
She said not it was really. The best day of her life.
Yeah, John. She's thriving.
I still don't think she's having fun.
All right. Well, it doesn't get it. Although I could have been convinced.
okay. Let me try again.
Negative 50% of all the points. If this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip. So it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right, Marcy. That's it. We're done.
Wow.
To the end. Do you still think you have not cracked the top five?
Of the horror films?
Yeah.
I'm worried that I haven't.
Okay. Okay. Well, brace yourself. Are you ready for the reveal?
I am.
All right. Out of a total possible 2,603.14 points, Jennifer's body has scored 1,868.48, giving it a percentage of 71.78, making it overall the 37th gayest movie. Not as gay as Interview with the Vampire, but gayer than Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Okay.
And then that makes it the 7th gayest horror movie. No, 8th.
I knew it wouldn't break into the top 5.
You know, but top 10 for horror movies, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And in the 30s, that's pretty good. And it's also notable, it scored very high in gay actors playing gay roles. Like, one of the highest movies ever.
Okay.
Thank God for Megan Fox.
Thank God. You know, you're not the first to say that. How many Maxim subscribers said that in the middle of the night?
I love that, Megan Fox.
How many Maxim editors said that?
Right. Well, Marcy, that's it. We're done. We've dissected Jennifer's body.
Oh, so
the
good.
Autopsy is completed.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Yes. Go listen to my dang podcast. L is for Losers, a pop culture roundup, and we watch almost every show on Bravo.
Oh,
and
really
then doing.
We really, it takes a lot of work. I mean, we're going to watch this Summer House, Winter House mashup shit with Southern Charm and Summer House. So, and then 90 Day Bay, where we are watching the entire 90 Day universe.
And that's another constant churn. It never ends. There's like six of those shows.
And then finally, funny feeling, it's spooky season. Come listen to some spooky stories.
Yeah. And you don't have to watch any TV for that one.
No.
Whew. Finally.
Thank God. Well, Marcy, you're always a delightful, fun.
So fun.
Scrappy guest. You're here to scrap.
Am I crass?
No. You're delightful.
Pure class.
Thank you so much, Marcy. And
we'll be right back.
We're back. So you hated the movie.
I didn't hate the movie. Don't gaslight me.
That's not gaslighting.
Yes, it is. It's you saying, oh, so you said this when I didn't say something. And then
you're
you
the crazy
defend
one.
Something. Okay.
But now I'm gaslighting.
Now you're gaslighting me. Sure. No, I liked it very much. I don't. But to me, as I said earlier, like I feel like we've seen other movies do what this movie is doing in a more, to me, more fun and exciting way.
Sure. I liked it. Like it wasn't like, would I buy it on Blu-ray? Is it coming to my collection? No. But I'm glad I finally saw it.
Yeah.
And also the woman who directed it directed one of my other favorite horror movies of the last like 10 years, The Invitation.
Oh, yeah.
She's good.
Yeah, she's got, yeah. Nothing about it is bad. It just wasn't as exciting to me as other things in the genre, I feel like.
Sure. It's real quippy.
Real quippy. What was exciting to me is an email we got from one of our listeners.
Oh my God, you love getting emails.
I love getting emails. This is from Patrick, and it's titled Theme Episode Suggestion. Patrick writes, hello. I always enjoy the theme episodes months on the podcast and wanted to throw out a suggestion. When recommending your podcast to friends, I always say how funny it is to put the movies through the Byzantine scoring system, no matter how gay it is. If it's a gay classic, it's fun to hear all the high scores affirming the movie's gayness. If it's a movie that was marketed as straight but is actually pretty darn gay, it's fun to hear you make the subtext into text. And when the movie is just straight as hell, it's funny to hear the pathetically low scores and the grasping at straws to give out 12 points in a category. Well, I'm glad you've been covering gayer movies since the earlier days of the podcast. I do miss hearing episodes like your What About Bob's, your Hoosiers, your Good Will Hunting.
Sure.
That's why I wanted to suggest doing episodes where you're looking for a new last place. You could call the theme Straight Stories, The Search for a New Bottom. Not sure you'd want to do a full month of that, but maybe once or twice a year. Just a thought. Love the podcast. Goodbye, Patrick.
I think that's a great idea.
It's a funny idea. I like
one
that.
One thing that has changed, because when we ask, generally, I wouldn't tell people that we were going to judge it on how gay it was. I would just say, just pick a movie. And then we would surprise them on the show with,
we're going to talk about how gay it is.
yeah. So that may be, and also the show's been on longer, so people probably know the premise a little bit more.
Hopefully, yes.
Hopefully. but I think that's fun. We're always hunting for a new bottom, aren't we, John?
Ah, thank God.
The innuendo opportunities alone make things like this be a good idea.
I like that idea, Patrick. Yeah, maybe we'll bring that idea we'll make it happen.
To the board.
To
we'll
the
bring
board.
The idea to the board. B-O-A-R-D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess we just have a bunch of straight guys on. We try not to.
Do we know any of those? Many. We try to space them out.
We know a few.
Exactly.
But also, gay people can bring in straight movies.
That's true.
Two. Thank you. Representation. That's what Harvey Milk was fighting for.
That's exactly what he was fighting for. Well, thank you, Patrick. That's a great idea. And we love hearing from you guys. If you guys have ideas, you can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com and let us know what you thought. If you have any other ideas, we love hearing them.
Yeah, but we should say quickly, scheduling change update. Yes. We mentioned it at the top of the show.
Yes, we've talked about it. But now let's talk about it.
Why are we doing this, John?
We're just doing this because our schedules are just so crammed these days, and we just sort of want to keep doing the podcast and keep all the episodes going, but we just needed a little break. Otherwise, we would have to sort of stop it. So this is what we're doing.
And also, the Patreon now also have regular episodes of just like things that still go on the main scoring system. It's not going to be so niche. But I think we still want to do things like director's commentaries, that kind of stuff, or more one-off, like our gay icons episodes, Oscar songs,
still have
that.
That's not going to go away.
Of that stuff. But now it's just going to be one episode a week.
Right. We're going back and forth between the regular free feed and then the Patreon. So yeah, for $5 a month, you get the Patreon, you get all of the episodes. But then also we're going to make it more focused, a $1 a month tier. And so if for that, even if you don't get the full episode, you will get every week Mark's wonderful and delightful camp list for whatever movie we have talked about that week.
So if we aren't doing a movie that week, we could do a camp list from the vaults, perhaps.
That's true. We could pull out one of those.
Pull out something from the vault.
We've got a nicely packed vault. If you'll excuse me.
It's huge. it's filled with fudge.
Yeah.
But that's, I hope, let us know. What do you think about that? If we hear nothing, we'll assume it's fine. So great. But you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, TW Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes. And we also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones. And also a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out.
And yeah, that's it. We'll see you next time. Episode will be a Patreon episode.
Episode, yes.
And as of this recording, do we know what we're doing? Should we say?
Let's say it. And if we have to edit this out, we'll edit this out.
Okay. Well, we're going to be singing The Body Electric.
That's true.
There, we both got there. It's Fame. We're talking about the movie Fame.
Talking about the movie Fame. Not gay at all. This is a real search for the bottom.
I've never seen it, but I've seen episodes of the TV show.
Oh, okay. I've seen it very much. I have it on DVD. I'm very excited to
revisit
it.
Made it surprising to the library.
It did.
Well, let's save these insights, shocking revelations.
Some of the stuff. For the actual join the Patreon episode. If you want to hear these insights.
I want to hear about John's DVD library. The rare echelon. All right. That's it. We'll see you next time, everybody. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Archer and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.